Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Parrish, welcome back to CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, please smash the like button like you are Brandon Davies. You have consent. And while you're smashing, let me remind you what we've got going on over a 10-week span. It's called the Summer Shootaround. It's a series during which we'll focus on 20 notable teams over a span of 10 weeks, two per week, 20 teams in 10 weeks. And we're doing the schools in alphabetical order. We've already knocked out Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Auburn. Now we turn our attention to Baylor. The Bears went 27-7 last season, finished tied with Kansas atop the Big 12 standings. Got a one seed in the NCAA tournament, lost to North Carolina in the round of 32. From that team, Baylor lost James Akinjo, Matthew Meyer, Kendall Brown, Jeremy Sohan. So four of the top six scorers. But the Bears are bringing back Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer, Flo Thamba, Del Bonner. That's four of the top nine scorers. They're also adding five-star freshman Keontae George and West Virginia transfer Jalen Bridges. I've got Baylor ranked seventh in the CBS Sports Top 25 and one. We'll see what Deadleg thinks of Scott Drew's Bears next. But first, a word from our sponsors. All right, Deadleg, I've got Baylor ranked seventh in the top 25 and one. That makes the Bears my pick to win at least a share of the Big 12 for the third straight season. You down with that, or are you about to disrespect Huck?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I might have to do a little disrespect to Huck. Maybe not, though. Scott Drew's done the unthinkable here. He won a national title and taken Baylor from a place where it was once not a top 100 job in the country to now being among the best programs in the sport. The average ranking for KenPom at Baylor over the past six seasons, 15. If you narrow that down, the past three seasons, Baylor's average ranking is third. And if you do the past five seasons, it's the number five program overall in KenPom. That's unreal. We mention it with regularity, but it just bears repeating it. I guess you could technically say Baylor football, but, or like Cal football, like getting to a place where it's regularly competing for a national championship. It's unthinkable. Scott Drew's done an amazing job there. The past three seasons, Baylor is 81-13 with a national title, 2-1 seeds, and would have had a third one seed if they played in the 2020 NCAA tournament. My question with Baylor this year specifically is how good can it be? Has it reached that level? Like, it's been really, really good. Is this going to be the season where basically our expectations annually going forward for Scott Drew's program is a viable top 10 outfit on a yearly basis here, right? If he can get this team to do it, be 1, 2, or 3 seed material, which you think it is, then the answer will be yes. It's obviously possible. We will see if it happens. They lose James Akinjo, who was fine. They lose Matthew Meyer, who went to Illinois. He, GP, as you well know, he was a bit up and down. Jeremy Sohan, top 10 in the draft, did a little everything. He's now gone. And Kendall Brown, who faded as the season went on. So they do have to retool, rebuild. They've got some pieces we'll get into. You mentioned Keontae George. I'm not sure this team has more collective talent than last year's group, but it feels close. And the reason it's close is probably Keontae George. Floor is yours here, because he could be a revelation in Waco. Right. He was that good in the summer when they played in Canada, and he figures to be the third consecutive lottery pick to come out of Baylor. Davion Mitchell, Sohan, and now Keontae George at this point is projected to be a lottery pick.
Yeah, he's terrific. I saw him at the Iverson Classic back in April. He was named MVP of his team. He's a 6'4 guard who can play comfortably with LJ Cryer and Adam Flagler. And that's why I'm high on Baylor. Like that who's, I mean, I don't want to catch off the top of your head here, but in terms of three guard lineups, how many teams are doing better than LJ Cryer, Adam Flagler, and Keontae George?
It's a good question. There might be one or two nominees out there, but when you say that, yeah, I mean, especially if Flagler and Cryer, who dealt with injuries this offseason, right. We can get to their stuff in a second here, but yeah, I mean, and Drew's obviously one with that combination before, literally won the whole damn thing with arguably the best backcourt in the country, multi-head three-person attack. So yeah, there's many reasons to be optimistic if you're a Baylor fan that you can be relevant top 10 good again.
You mentioned the injuries. You know, LJ Cryer only played 19 games last season, only played one time after January 25th. You remember they kept listing him as questionable, but it became pretty clear as February turned to March that he just was not going to play again last season. They also lost Jonathan Chamwechachua to a season-ending knee injury on February 25th. So that's pretty wild that not only did Baylor get a one seed for, if we'd have had a 2020 NCAA tournament, it would have been three straight years. They did it after losing LJ Cryer and Jonathan Chamwechachua, like two important rotation players mid-season. You know, Cryer ended up finishing second on the team in points per game. And if I remember correctly, at the time he went down, he was maybe the leading scorer on the team. So losing him was, you know, if you're trying to figure out why they didn't advance further in the NCAA tournament, him not being available, like he helped them build in part that one seed resume, but he wasn't able to be a part of the team playing in the NCAA tournament. You could go back and listen to podcasts heading into the NCAA tournament. I always thought Baylor would be the most vulnerable one seed because they were missing, you know, two important rotation players. Cryer should be fine to start the season, although, like you pointed out, he didn't play in Canada. Adam Flagler didn't play in Canada. Jonathan Chamwechachua didn't play in Canada. Langston Love didn't play in Canada. So it didn't go too well for Baylor on that trip, but like, they're missing four of their best players. I mentioned, well, let me just real quick, and we can put a button on Jonathan Chamwechachua. That was a devastating knee injury. I believe he tore multiple ligaments. And so it's unclear when he'll be ready to go, but getting LJ Cryer back theoretically to start the season should be huge. Langston Love, another guy that didn't play in Canada. If you remember, he's the, you know, former top 50 prospect class of 2021 who tore his ACL last preseason. So he's technically a newcomer too, and could be a valuable piece. So, you know, not knowing exactly what Jonathan Chamwechachua is going to look like post injury and when he's going to be available, that's an uncertainty that I think is reasonable to create some skepticism that they can really keep performing at the tip top of the sport. But broadly speaking, I really like the roster. And you mentioned the 81-13 over the past three seasons, 42-8 in the Big 12 over the past three seasons, which is just ridiculous given that has consistently been a top two conference in college basketball.
It's outrageous. Maybe they can keep it going again. You know, getting Everyday John back, Cryer, Flagler. I am interested to see Langston Love. Yes, he did tear an ACL last October. And none of those, as you mentioned, none of those four played in the Global Jam. Had they played, Baylor would have won. They lost to Canada in that. But Keontae George was just, he was awesome. He had 37 in one game, averaged 22.8 points. Should be a top five freshman in the sport next season, I would have to think. At least he objectively should be rated as that going into the season. And I tend to lean into the fun storylines that aren't every year occurrences. And yes, Baylor has had lottery pick talent, but it's not often that we head into a season saying Baylor's going to have a freshman guard who's going to be among the best in the sport. Kendall Brown had some buzz going into that last season. There's no doubt about it. And then we see how that turned out. So there are no guarantees. Kendall Brown did wind up getting drafted. He went late in the second round, but 3 weeks into the season a year ago, Kendall Brown was projected as a lottery pick. Things change. We'll see what happens with Keontae George, but there's a lot to like about him. If you're listening to this podcast, you are either a college basketball diehard or a Baylor fan, and Baylor fans, no doubt, made sure that they got to see Keontae George play, or at the very least caught the highlights on social media or YouTube after. And you just look at the way he plays and you can so clearly see how he should be an immediate impact player there. You know, if he stays healthy, I think Scott Drew has every intention of helping turn him into a star, because almost by necessity, he will become that. Cryer and Flagler are also very, very good veteran players. George is so just preternaturally gifted when it comes to playing basketball. So I can't wait to see Baylor on the floor with him out there. From a schedule perspective, Baylor's going to play Virginia in the Continental Tire event in Las Vegas, which should be a really terrific game. Obviously, a matchup between two programs that have recent national championships. And Virginia, I expect to take a nudge up from what they were a season ago. And then either Baylor will play either Illinois, could face Matthew Meyer in that game, or UCLA, depending on how results go in the second one. They're also hosting Arkansas in late January, which could be a top 10 matchup. Right now, that has potential to be a top 10 matchup. We're talking about either the best or most interesting programs in this shoot-around series. We've already done Arkansas. Here we are on Baylor. Hogs and Bears will meet in January. Other games, non-conference of note, they'll play at Marquette. I love it. And then they'll play Gonzaga on a neutral. They'll play Washington on a neutral. There's a lot to like about how Scott Drew has scheduled. They'll play six notable power conference, non-conference games, with one of them being on the road, which I like to see there. Overall, there's a lot to be encouraged by if you're a Baylor fan. But again, can you sustain it? Can you keep it up from a top 10 perspective? If you don't, it's fine, GP, but it's hard to do year in, year out. And to me, if Baylor can do it again for one more season, then it's almost like, if you keep the head coach in place, you can sustain it, because more players will either want to transfer to you. Recruiting gets that much easier. Obviously, the Big 12 has a shift in its conference makeup coming next year with the influx of BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. So we'll see. But I wouldn't put it past Baylor to if we're looking up Selection Sunday 2023 and the Bears are a two seed, that would not surprise me whatsoever.
You mentioned playing Arkansas in January. That's SEC Big 12 Challenge. Trivia time.
Let's go.
What program, either in the SEC or the Big 12, has the best SEC Big 12 Challenge record of all time?
All right, so a couple ways to interpret this unexpected trivia time. First of all, the answer you want to say is Kansas, but Kansas, by virtue of being Kansas, normally gets the toughest opponent, so it might not necessarily be Kansas. The other way you could think about this is, well, is it either Arkansas or Baylor? Because we're talking about Baylor here. I will lean into that, and I will say that, first of all, this has been going on for, 8 years, 9 years, the SEC Big 12 deal?
Maybe nine, at least nine.
All right. Give me Baylor.
That's a winner. Baylor, 7-2 in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. But you're right. The context matters. Kansas is typically going to get the most difficult SEC matchup. And so not trying to discount it. Like, let's just leave it there. I'm not going to be the one being disrespectful to Hawk and the entire Drew family. 7-2. That's Baylor's record. in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. They're also bringing in a couple transfers that are notable. I think Jalen Bridges, 6'7" forward out of West Virginia, averaged 8.4 points, 4.8 rebounds in 26.8 minutes per game last season. Also, Caleb Lohner, he played at BYU last season, 7.6 rebounds a game. He's from Dallas originally, so he's coming back to his home state. And as we're talking about the people who are coming in and the people who are leaving, should be noted, Jerome Tang is no longer on staff at Baylor, now the head coach at Kansas State. And when I didn't hear about this when it happened, but it made me smile when I saw it. Baylor did make a hire earlier this offseason for a director of player development. Do you know who is now the first year director of player development at Baylor?
No, I no clue.
Tweety Carter.
Nice. Nice. We love it.
Love Tweety Carter being back in college basketball.
We absolutely love it. Yeah, that's great.
So, you know, Jerome Tang was a big, and Scott would tell you this, Jerome was a big part of everything they built at Baylor and everything they were able to sustain at Baylor. So losing him is great for Jerome Tang because he's the head, you know, he's a Big 12 head coach now, long overdue to get that, you know, big head coaching opportunity, by the way. But Scott has lost awesome assistants, you know, over and over again. And it really the program hasn't slipped yet. So hopefully for Baylor, that continues to be true. But I did think it's worth pointing out Jerome Tang, who was a big part of what they built, like I said, is now the head coach at Kansas State. And so that'll be a neat little in-season thing as well when Jerome Tang comes back to Baylor to coach against the Bears for the first time.
A significant part. I mean, Scott might even insist that he has as much to do with it as Scott himself. Tang was there since 2003. I mean, I believe he was a high school coach, then joins Drew's staff again in 2003 when Scott Drew gets the job and no one wants the Baylor job, right? I mean, it is a smoldering crater of a program that some at the time were arguing should not even exist anymore. Scott Drew leaves after a season at Valpo, takes the job, Tang joins him, and over the course of two decades, I wonder if Tang was the longest tenured assistant in a power conference. Maybe there's someone else that's been there. I mean, we're going on 19 years. He might well have been. I don't have the fact check trivia time for you on that, GP, but his name, particularly in the past 3 or 4 years, as Baylor continued to ascend and he had put in his dues, it's like, when is Jerome Tang going to get a job? Now, to be fair, I talked with Jerome about this after he got K-State. I mean, he did turn at what happens sometimes is you get to a certain level and you're like, I'm just straight up not taking a Southland head coaching job. I'm not going to do that. I like where I'm at. And if I'm going to take a job, I'm going to wait for the right job for me because I feel like I've earned it. Jerome felt that way and it paid off. He's going to coach at Kansas State and he's going to do a good job there, but no Tang on the sidelines in that coaching room, helping recruit to this program and coach, that could be a significant thing. We'll see. Not having him there has obviously probably felt a little bit weird for Scott, but I know he's thrilled for him all the same. One quick last note on Baylor from me, GP. I got to mention one of the most baller names in all of college basketball, Flo Thamba. One of the best names 4 years running in this sport. Is he finally going to have his breakout season? He's the one name we haven't mentioned here who I think could wind up being, maybe he winds up being the difference between Baylor being first and second in the Big 12 or third and fourth. He's 6'10 center. He averaged 6.2 points, 5.6 boards in 20 minutes a game last season. Those are respectable numbers, but I feel like he's got to nudge those averages up to the likes of maybe 10-8 to help ensure Baylor's, you know, a top two team in what should be a great again Big 12. So just keep an eye on that. Thamba is the guy that coaches will say this all the time. Like, you guys always write about player A and player B and talk about player C, but to us, it's what player D or E is doing that really is making the difference. Thamba could be that guy for Baylor, and particularly his presence as a big could wind up being huge. Can he make that jump? We wait and see, but that's pretty much a full roster rundown on what can be a pretty, I think, again, bottom line for me, GP, I'd be surprised if Baylor was not entertaining to watch yet again, and this is coming off of just an absolutely absurd and controversial comeback collapse against UNC in the second round. Carolina obviously survived, what made it all the way to the title game. But holy hell, what a tournament game and like what a rally that was. There are so many facets and factors to that game. That's the last time we saw Baylor play. The next time we'll see him will be in November, and they figure to be preseason, GP. Where'd you say you have them right now?
I got them 7. I think they'll be preseason top 10.
They'll probably be anywhere from 7 to, I'll say 12 just to be safe. They'll be somewhere in that realm once they tip it off in November.
Good things on the horizon for Scott Drew and, of course, Kelly, McKenzie, Peyton, and Brody. Homer and Janet, Bryce and Tara, Dana and her husband, Casey, Bryce and Anna, Isaiah, Caleb, and Luke, plus Huck, of course. It's
Bryce
incredible.
Bryce doesn't care.
I'm certain he does. Deep down somewhere, he has to care at least a little bit. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck and Lauren Hell. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you are not subscribed yet, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. At Apple, leave a nice review. There's more of us than there are of them. It needs to be reflected in the reviews. 5 stars, please. We'll talk to you again real soon. Creighton's up next. Till then, take care.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.